Ladies and gentlemen, 3 weeks ago, we started a list. The list is Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. Started through 50 through 41. Then 2 weeks ago, it was 40 through 31. Last week, it was 30 through 21. Now, on this episode, it is 20 through 11. We're continuing this list. We're getting through this list, and we're just going right along through it. Afterwards, here comes spring football, and here comes the 2024 season of college football. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm ready to rock and roll. With that being said, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, X, and Facebook, all you have to do is just type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's college football question, as well as all things up to date with Pigskin Frenzy. Also, on the website, new website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Yes, you will get a home and about me page if you want to know more about me, Joel Norris, for Pigskin Frenzy. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little tangled up in these cords here. Pigskin Frenzy. You can just all, you know, how Pigskin Frenzy started and how I got my start here in sports media. Yes, you can go and look that up. You can leave comments down below and type your name and I'll get back to them on the show or, you know, just in general. Also, there's a store page there and that is coming soon. We don't have it up and running yet, but we will here soon. Merchandise will be coming soon. The Pigskin Frenzy, Pigskin Frenzy shop. You'll be able to shop there. You'll be able to get favorite merch from, hopefully, your favorite football podcast. Also, affiliations page. And this is where we take our time to thank our partnerships. And guys, if you want something that is, you know, spectacular to make your face and facial hair look good, men, I'm talking to you. Go to the Beard Club. What are you waiting for? Go to the Beard Club. The Beard Club is a proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy. I'm getting stumbled up here. Proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy. And it, you know, really does make a difference and make an effort on your facial hair needs. Guys, Pigskin Frenzy has partnered with the Beard Club. The Beard Club, you can get beard kits, hair and face kits, body kits, you name it, to help the hair on your face and your grooming needs, and they can be met with the Beer Club. All you have to do, guys, is go to my website on the affiliations page, click the Beer Club logo. It will take you to thebeerclub.com, and you can get all the beard growthing kits is what the big thing is right now. You can get a beard growthing kit, a beard grooming kit, and it will make your facial hair quite like mine if you're seeing me on YouTube, and it will make everything look good. So, Beard Club, go to my website or go to my link tree on the social media and click on the beard growth kit right now and the beard grooming kit right now from the Beard Club and get yours today. Beard Club partnership with Pigskin Frenzy. We want to thank you guys. And this episode is, you know, proudly partnered with the Beard Club. So, college football day today. I'm excited. I'm ready to rock and roll with this list, 20 through 11. And honestly, it got me thinking a little bit. It really did. As I develop this list and I think to myself and I look at all the games, like, okay, what would be, you know, at this ranking, what would be here? Nah, let me switch that up because that could go here. And I finally was decisive on it. This list is pretty, I think it's a pretty, you know, we're getting to the final stretch here. We got this episode and then next week's episode, 10 through 1 of Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. And let me go on and tell you, this list is pretty exciting. These are some pretty good games on this list. Let's kick it off with number 20. Let's not wait any longer. Let's kick it off with number 20. You're going to think this game should have been much higher, but I'm going to give you my reasoning on why it's not all that high. Number 20, LSU at Alabama. And let me tell you why it's not all that high. The game was hyped. Yes, I'm going to agree with everybody saying, dude, the game was super hyped. Look at the talent that was on that team. You got, you know, you got, it was a flashy offense with LSU. Bama's defense was pretty stellar in the SEC. You had Bama finally starting to come back up and Nick Saban trying to make his last stand before we knew it. We all thought he was coming back next season, but he ended up retiring at the end of the year. It was his last game against LSU. But it was, you know, a good stand. Bama was fighting each game to prove the doubters wrong. They were back into a corner. And when you back Alabama and Nick Saban to a corner, they're going to bite back. And this was a good game like that. Were they going to bite back, or was LSU, just like they did last year as a the season before as a two-loss team in 2022, are they going to beat them again? Is it going to be the history going to repeat itself? Two-loss LSU goes into Tuscaloosa this time, and the first half was back and forth between both teams. Both of them were scoring at will. It was, 21-21 at half. 21-21 at half. It really was. But each defense got to stop at least once in the first quarter, but back and forth they go, just trading scores. And Bama's defense just played LSU's offense just a little bit more tough than LSU could bargain for on that side of the ball. But it was back and forth, man. 21-21 and a half. LSU came out of the third quarter and was up 28-21, scored on Alabama. The problem with this game, though, and why I ranked it at 20, was the second half, and it was caused by LSU's defense. LSU had the potential of being a national champion, or at least in the playoff in 2023. They probably could have won it all with that offense. That offense was loaded and electric. The problem is the defense did not do them any favors. The defense did not do them any favors at all. You look at everything and you look at, the pieces that they had on defense. They were talented. You got Mason Smith, Harold Perkins, you had a lot of guys like Terrence Welsh on the secondary. A lot of those guys probably have entered the portal. Not Harold Perkins and not Greg Penn. They are back with LSU in 2024. But Mason Smith going to the draft. You had a lot of guys up front on defense. You had talent on that defense. It was how they were being coached and how they were being portrayed. It was arguably the worst defense we've ever seen LSU play. And it's the truth. The worst defense LSU has ever played was in 2023, and that is what cost them the game. Alabama comes back, ends up scoring, making it 28-28. Then LSU gets stopped heavily by Alabama's defense, and then now the whole crowd in Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is roaring. They're hyped. It crushes LSU's momentum. Touchdown, Alabama, 35-28. LSU, they get stopped again by the hype of that defense. The second half Alabama team is coming alive, and then it just turns into an all Alabama game. The game throughout the mid to late third quarter, and then all throughout the fourth quarter was just all Alabama. LSU couldn't do nothing. They were stunned. Their defense and the hype of the second half Alabama team was just hard to be unmatched, right? It was hard to unmatch. And then Bama ends up winning the game. They score another touchdown. Jalen Milroe had about four or five touchdowns. A majority of them were on the ground because they could not stop Jalen Milroe running the ball. And it ended up being 42-28. Alabama ended up winning the West this game and went on to play Georgia in the SEC championship game. We all know how that turned out. We will get into that game later on, but LSU, Alabama, Alabama defeated LSU 42-28. That is number 20 on my list because of how the second half played out. If you want to talk about how the hype of it was and how packed and how roaring the game was, you can easily put this game up there in the top 10. It was a fantastic build, and the first half of the football game was awesome, but I'm not going to put this game over other games that played out, and they were very, very close. I'm not going to put it ahead over some of the games that I have on my schedule because of how the game played out. Point blank, I think 20 is a good spot for LSU and Alabama this year because of how the second half was. Now, if the game came down to the very end, and it was a shootout, it was 40 in the 40s, and LSU or Alabama would have won that way, it was like 45-42, then I probably would have had this game in the top 10 because of how much of the players were in then, how much talent was in this game, and the billing of it and the hype around it was just so big going into November 4th. The whole time we were, and I even covered it, I even covered the game on my show, was, okay, what are we going to do? Like, how is this going to be played out? What's going to happen? Is Alabama going to come in and slow down this LSU offense? Is if they get into a shootout with LSU and LSU gets up 30-plus to 40-plus points, can Alabama keep up with LSU? Can they outscore with LSU? A lot of the question was that. A lot of people said, no, they can't. A lot of people said Alabama's defense is going to slow down their offense, which they did in the second half. LSU's defense couldn't slow anybody down. A lot of it was just, you know, the big questions for the billing of it. But how the game turned out, you got to put it at 20. And you would have to think about it for a second and put it at 20 because of how the second half played out. It wasn't close. I hate to say it, you know, for all the LSU and Louisiana fans out there listening to me in Louisiana, shout out to you guys, but it wasn't close. It wasn't close in the second half. LSU ended up losing that game in a blowout in the second half. It was a, 14-point game score-wise, but on the field, it was all Alabama in the second half. So LSU at Alabama is number 20, where Alabama defeated LSU 42-28. That is number 20 starting out. Now, that's 11 minutes in the show, and we're going to get through it, guys. Number 19, you're going to think, okay, interesting. The game wasn't all that good. It wasn't all that good, but hear me out. 19, Florida State at Florida. It wasn't all that good offensively. Yes, defensively, it was good. I think because of the rivalry week, and I think eventually it got better. I think the second half of the game was fantastic. The first half of the game started off slow offensively, but I think because of the rivalry week between the two teams, I think how hard Florida played, and Florida really could have upset them here. They were one win away from being bowl eligible against the eventual ACC champions. One game away from being bowl eligible. The hype, the billing around it was, okay, so Jordan Travis is out. Unfortunately, he's hurt. My thoughts and prayers are still with Jordan Travis, by the way. I hope he is doing good, and I hope he gets drafted to a good football team in the NFL. But when you look at Florida State and Florida, you're thinking, okay, the questions are there. Can they do this without Jordan Travis? Can they do it without Jordan Travis? What's the ground game going to look like? What's the offense going to look like with Tade Rodemaker, right? Former Florida State quarterback Tade Rodemaker, as he is now the new starting quarterback at Southern Miss. So Tade Rodemaker, what's it going to look like? How's Florida going to come in and spark some life into trying to help beat this undefeated Seminole team and going to a bowl game, right? So what was going to happen? Florida ended up scoring fast and early. Trevor Etienne and Montrell Johnson were running the ball quite well. They were bringing the fight to Florida State up front, and they brought a lot of hype and energy into Gainesville this game. Tate Rodemaker ended up getting hurt, so freshman quarterback Brock Glenn, who most likely will be the starting quarterback for the Seminoles heading into the 2024 season in the ACC. Brock Glenn ended up playing the rest of the game. And Trey Benson, let me go on and tell you something about Trey Benson, a stud running back, one of the top, if not the top running back in the NFL draft, along with Jonathan Brooks from Texas and Blake Corum from Michigan. But he ran the ball extremely well for Florida State's offense. Florida didn't have an answer for him. And I think that's what happened. I think Trey Benson was a key component in this offense, and that's what gave Florida State the win. They defeated Florida 24-15, close game, back and forth to the very end, and Florida ended up being not bowl eligible. They ended up losing this game and staying home and not going to a bowl game. But Florida State ended up winning the ACC championship. You know how all that debacle turned out. Florida State defeated Florida 24-15 in a very close game. I put it at 19 because of the rivalry weekend, and I think it was one of the most underrated games in college football that week. at the end of the day. It wasn't good in the first half, but it turned into an exciting second half. I think it didn't start out. It's not about sometimes it's not about how it starts out. It's about how it finishes. Sometimes it's just easy. It's just, listen, a lot of people just got to be patient nowadays. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I'm Joel Norris. A lot of people just have to be patient nowadays. Let the story and let the game play out and let it play out how it is. It was slow starting off with the first half. I understand that. And it was. But the second half rolled around and both teams started fighting some more and going back and forth. As the game got closer and closer to the end, you felt the energy like, okay, this game could go either way at this point. And it could literally, Florida State could end their undefeated streak could end right now like that. And there it is. Their playoff hopes could just go down the drain like that against Florida. And Florida could get a bowl game. And Florida can go to a bowl game. Or it's not. It doesn't, you know, Florida State ends up winning and Florida, you know, their dreams of going to a bowl game are crushed. You felt that going into closer and closer to the end of the game. So I think this is why it was at 19, because of how it played out, how the story was playing out, how the closer the game it was playing out, the moment, the atmosphere, people were chanting loud. Florida put up a fight that game, and I think in the end it was back and forth where Florida State ended up getting the win. It was a pretty big, underrated and big-time rivalry game. That's why I put it at 19, and I think that honestly, it was a very underrated game in the last week of the regular season. So, number 19, Florida State at Florida, with Florida State defeating Florida 24-15. 18, let's go to 18 really quick. Utah at Washington is 18. And this was a great game in October. It was a good game, a solid game, by the way, between two teams. The interception by the defensive back for Washington. He picked it off. It was going to be a pick six from Bryson Barnes. Barnes ended up picking it off to him. Alfonso runs into the end zone. It was a crazy play in this game, and I'm just picturing it right now. He drops the ball back. It's a fumble. Utah recovers, and it's first and goal, Utah. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Utah ended up scoring, and it was a whole debacle there. This is the game. That's the game we're talking about right now. Go back and watch that on YouTube if you hadn't seen it. It was insane. It was a back-and-forth game. Utah and Kyle Whittingham and Bryson Barnes put up a fight against Michael Penix Jr., Kalen DeBoer, and Washington. Back and forth game until the very end. Utah presented a tough challenge up front for Washington, too. Their defensive line was posing some threats to Michael Penix Jr. Washington ended up defeating Utah and remaining in the conversation, 35-28. Utah at Washington. Washington defeated Utah 35-28. And it was a solid football game. It was a really solid football game. And I think the reason why I put it at 18 is because of how close it was. By the way, these next few games, 18, 17, and 16, all feature Washington. So just get ready for that. They all feature Washington. So Washington's been in some great games. Utah has been in some good games, including this one. Utah, this was a good game for Utah. I think Utah on the road posed a critical threat to Washington's schedule and to trying to run the table. And I think their defense was the key reason to that. I think a lot of what happened to Utah was because of their injuries. I think they were a little bit beat up going into this game. I think that's why Washington had a slight edge and advantage against the Utes because of the injuries that were plagued for Utah. Utah is going to be a solid football team going into 2024, by the way. I cannot wait to do a spring outlook on Utah because Utah is going to look pretty good. They got Cam Rising coming back. They got a lot of their guys coming back for Utah. So I can't wait to see what they're going to bring in 2024. But in this game, a lot of them were beat up. But they still brought the fight. It was still back and forth. And we honestly thought that Washington could drop this game because at first Utah was winning. Utah was winning this game. And we thought going in like, man, this offense is getting challenged. Washington's getting challenged here. They haven't been challenged like this since Oregon. And they're getting challenged right now. And Kyle Whittingham was giving it all he has. It was back and forth between the two teams. Washington ended up scoring a touchdown late, or I think it was a safety. It was a safety. So Washington ended up scoring a safety late. And it was 33-28 at first, made it 35-28. Washington ended up getting the win as the time expired. It was close game, 35-28, Washington defeated Utah. 18 because of how close the game was and because of what was at stake. I think a lot of people didn't know what was at stake because Utah by this point was still in it. They were still in the hunt, and I think that was what the stakes were, right? I feel like this was at 18 because of how close the game was, how lively Seattle-Washington was, and the stakes couldn't have been higher because Utah was still in the Pac-12 championship hunt. So, this is why it was 18, 35-28, Washington defeated Utah, put Utah out. Washington eventually ran the table, right? So, 18, Utah at Washington, where Washington defeated Utah, 35-28. Number 17, Washington at USC. I put that there because of the star power in this game. The draft picks in this game are loaded. I'm not talking about just for, I mean, we look at USC, you got Caleb Williams, you got Brendan Rice, Mario Williams, you got for Washington, Michael Penix Jr., Roger Rosegarden up front, Rome Odunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. Guys, this is the truth. Dylan Johnson, even. I mean, you got a lot of NFL talent, pro-level talent playing in this game. It was a high-scoring game. USC was going a little bit downhill after they lost to Notre Dame. And this was after the Notre Dame game. They lost. They beat Cal. They ended up playing Washington. And we all honestly thought that if USC didn't play some form of defense, that this game was going to get away from them because Washington had the offense to combat USC's offense. You want a score fest? They're going to give you a score fest. And, you know, Washington will bring that to you. If you want to play that way and try to outscore, and we'll do our, you know, try to outscore us, you know, try it, you know, because Washington was the truth when it came to offense. They were top five in offense, ended up finishing number three in offense, were number one at first until LSU took that spot later, earlier, or, you know, midseason around in college football in 2023. So Washington at USC, Washington defeated USC 52-42. USC in this game had some good moments. They played defense actually in some good moments. Caleb Williams punked out their defense too. In some good moments too. He had some good moments against Washington's defense as well, and USC scored. It was back and forth until the very end where Washington ended up, you know, slowing down USC's offense just a tad. USC's defense couldn't keep up with Washington at the end, and Michael Penix decided to, deliver a couple more, you know, a couple more scores and deliver the knockout blow in Los Angeles. So in the Coliseum, you know, USC Trojans, they lost 52-42. Washington defeated USC. This puts USC out of the contention and out of the race for the Pac-12. And Washington was just a team that was not to be messed with in, you know, the Pac-12, especially. USC, that's another threat that Washington got rid of. And USC was a threat at the time, and Washington ended up getting rid of them. Every obstacle that's standing in Washington's way, Oregon, Utah, USC, it was a game where they tested themselves, they won, and they pushed them to the side. Hey, you're not taking this moment from me. USC was one of those. Back and forth there, 17. I put it at 17 because of the scoring, because of the hype around it, and because of how, you know, of the magnitude of what was at stake. Like I said, Washington had everything to lose. USC had something to lose too a little bit, but not like not like Washington. So 17, Washington at USC. Washington defeated USC 52-42 in a score fest. USC's defense didn't do a lot. So Washington at USC. Washington defeated USC 52-42. Number 16, Washington again. Number 16, Washington at Oregon State. Back and forth game to the very end. It was cold, rainy. It was in Corvallis, Oregon. And Corvallis, Oregon, man. Beaver country. Beaver town, as I like to call it. Beaver town. It was back and forth. And the thing that was standing in their way was Oregon State. Because a lot of people didn't know this, but Jonathan Smith and Oregon State were ready to play. Record-wise showed that they had a loss against Arizona, but that's okay because they were still in it at this time. They were still in it. If they beat Washington and beat Oregon the next week, they were in. They were in the Pac-12 title game. And even if they beat Washington, they were in the front, in the forefront of it. Their record was good enough. They had a 10-win season, Oregon State did. Oregon State looked pretty, or I'm sorry, they had a 9-win season, Oregon State did, and they had a pretty solid run. Pretty solid run last season. They played really, really good. I'm surprised by how Oregon State play. They did a really good job last season, but it was back and forth, close in the rain, close game in the rain. The closest since Oregon played them was Oregon State, 22-20. 22-20. Oregon State was running the ball on Washington's defense, and Washington didn't know what to do. They were really giving them some different looks in the run, and it confused them. A little bit of mixed directions, and they just didn't know what was going to happen. Demi Martinez was an animal in this game. Martinez would run the ball well, give them some different looks, and Washington's defense were confused. They didn't know how to stop the run and how to slow them down. And DJ Uyunglele, who was now transferred to Florida State. So I did not think about that. I mentioned Brock Glenn most likely being the starting quarterback, but let's hold our horses there. That's a spring outlook for Florida State. Who's going to be the starting quarterback between Brock Glenn and DJ Uyunglele? It's looking like that Glenn could be, but also don't count out DJ Uyunglele. So let's see about that. But former Arizona Oregon State quarterback DJ Uyunglele was their quarterback. He was playing some good ball, but the run really, really helped the Beavers in this game. Unfortunately, Michael Penix and Roma Dunsey happened and ended up, it was 20-19 at first. They drove down the field, kicked the field goal, made it 22-20. Roma Dunsey happened. They really didn't have an answer for Rome in this game. And it showed a lot of spectacular catches were made by Odunze in this game. And Michael Penix just led a game-winning drive down the field. They kicked the field goal. Oregon State was going to try to go down the field and score. Washington finally stopped them, and it was 22-20. Washington defeated Oregon State in a rainy and chilly back-and-forth game in Beavertown. The stakes were higher in this game, number 16, because of how the game was lined up. Oregon State could have pulled off the upset. It was very close, very close, and they could have pulled off the upset. They didn't, but they could have. Washington, everything was at stake. They were undefeated, top two team in the nation, top five team in the nation. They were trying to fight for a Pac-12 championship berth and a playoff spot because they did not want to. Every game mattered. Every game mattered to them. They did not want to lose. Michael Penix and Roma Dunsey got the win, led them to a game-winning field goal, you know, drive to a kick a field goal, and Washington won the game 22-20. Washington defeated Oregon State 22-20. 16 is Washington at Oregon State. What, you know, these games are solid, by the way. 20 through 16 are really, really solid. And, I mean, hey, right? So, I mean, just take it as you will. You may disagree with me on my list, but I'm looking back at these games and thinking, I remember watching these last season, and they were fantastic. Number 15, and it's a game that I covered. Number 15, Kansas State at Texas. Ooh, man, that game was That game was a stunner, is what that was. Game was a stunner. Texas was all over Kansas State in this game. Was all over them. They were blowing them out. It was like 21-7, 28-7 in around halftime. I changed the channel. And silly rookie me, right, of changing the channel of a game that you're covering. I was covering Texas and Kansas State. You silly Joel, right? Silly Joel. And then, and only then, I look at the channel and I look down on the ticker and I get messages and I'm like, dude, you better change the channel back to Fox quick. I change it back and Kansas State is tied with Texas. Tied with them. And then they catch a lead. Then they get a lead. Then they get a lead. And you're thinking, what? What happened? What happened? That's so weird. It was 27-7. It was 30-2. It was 30-27. I mean, it was literally when I got back, it was 30-27. Kansas State was winning. And then I was thinking to myself, wait, Kansas State came back? It was 27-7 and a half. Kansas State just came back and they're in it. In Darryl Royal Stadium, Darryl K. Royal Stadium in Austin. They're in it. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I should not have counted them out. I was stunned. I was literally stunned. I watched the rest of the game play out, and Texas drives the ball down the field, kicks the field goal, goes into overtime, 30-30. You get a possession, right? So the game's automatically over. You get a possession. Texas kicks the field goal. I'm sorry. Kansas State had the ball. Texas stops Kansas State from scoring. They stop Kansas State from scoring. Missed opportunity there. Texas goes down the field, scores a field goal, and to win the game in overtime. Texas defeated Kansas State 33-30 in overtime. I put it at 15, Kansas State at Texas, because of the, I mean, like I said, against Florida State and Florida. Patient, be patient. I need to take my own advice of what I just said. Sometimes we just have to be patient to see how the ending happens and see how the story in the game plays out. I needed to take my own advice. I wish that Joel right now was sitting there and watching Joel, 5 months ago, watching this game and saying, or 5 months ago, 6 months ago, saying, dude, take your advice, take it as you will, and listen and watch the rest of the game and let the story play out. I really wish I would have let that story play out. That was a phenomenal ending, phenomenal game in the second half for Kansas State. They came all the way back. No wonder I have it in the top 15. It's a top 15 game, classic of a game of the 2023 season. And it was an overtime win for Texas, back and forth. Kansas State played them really tough in the second half. Texas was all over them in the first half, but Kansas State regrouped and got back in it. I think the story and how the second half unfolded was why I put this game in the top 15 and why it is a number 15 game for me in 2023. So, final score of this game was 30-33 in overtime. Texas defeated Kansas State, and Kansas State at Texas is number 15 of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season. We got 14, 13, and 12, and 11 coming up right now. Number 14, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State in Bedlam. In Bedlam, the last Bedlam game that we will be seeing for a while. I am certainly disappointed in that because I love the Battle in Bedlam games. I hope that with the SEC move that Oklahoma and the Big 12 being in Oklahoma State, right, they could find a way, all of them can find a way to come into an agreement that they can still play an out-of-conference game every year against each other. So it's Bedlam, man. It's Bedlam. That is what we need to see, whether it's the first part of the game, first part of the year, or the last game of the weekend, which usually it was the last game of the weekend, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. But this was November 4th, Bedlam, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, close back and forth. Oklahoma State was picking up a little bit more steam to try to go to the Big 12 championship game. If Oklahoma, who got upset by Kansas, could not afford to lose anymore to lose their spot, Oklahoma State was in a downhill a little bit, but they ended up they lost to South Alabama. We all thought they were going to lose to Kansas State. They lost earlier on in the season, but they found a way, their will to win, and come back mid-season and eventually in the late season to win the Big 12. Oklahoma State defeated Oklahoma in Bedlam 27-24. Ollie Gordon II was a big reason why Oklahoma State won this game. The Cowboys looked really, really good running the football with him. Ollie Gordon is the best running back coming back in college football this season. He is a savage, and there is no doubt about that in my mind. Oklahoma had a little bit of, a little bit of luck in the pass defense. Oklahoma's pass defense against Oklahoma State was good. It wasn't phenomenal, but it was good enough to keep them in it. Oklahoma State running the football, the Sooners' defense couldn't stop the run, and Ollie Gordon was a big reason why. Close game until the very end, back and forth. It's Bedlam, and it was a classic Bedlam game, and it was a classic ending, for everybody, until we see Bedlam again one day. I hope we see it soon, because, my Lord, Bedlam is just awesome to watch. So, 27-24, Oklahoma State defeated Oklahoma 27-24. It's 14 because it was a top 15 game, and number 14 because of the classic that it produced. It was a classic ending, back and forth until the very end. The crowd was in it. The momentum would shift back and forth, and it was a back and forth overall game. It's a pure classic rivalry game that we all know and love. 14, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State in Bedlam, where Oklahoma State defeated Oklahoma 27-24. Number 13, Louisville at Miami. It was a back and forth game in the end. Louisville came off of a loss. Louisville came off of a huge loss. Back and forth until the very end. Miami was up on Louisville. Miami had the advantage. Louisville ended up coming back and defeating Miami 38-31. Jack Plummer, Jamari Thrash, and Jahar Jordan. Jahar Jordan. I was thinking myself by the brain processing words. Jahar Jordan, Isaiah Guerrero, and Jahar Jordan. That running attack was really, really good for the Cardinals. It brought them back in it. It brought them back to life. They ended up being in a shootout for the rest of the game with Tyler Van Dyke in Miami. Miami was a very physical, presented a very physical challenge to Louisville in this game. And honestly, I think it could have gone either way. Honestly, it could have, but I think Louisville had a little bit more heart in the second half and found their way and will to win, because they did not want to end, their hopes of being in the conference championship in this type of magnitude, in this type of game. So they found their way to win. They found a will to win. Miami was up on them. Louisville came back, and they found their way to win. That's why it's number 13, because of what the stakes were, one. And number two, Louisville's will to win in this game presented to be a classic of a game in 2023. Back and forth between the two teams, Louisville at Miami. Miami, like I said, posed a threat up front to Louisville. But in the end, Louisville, out-muscled them in the end and got the win, 38-31. Louisville defeated Miami. Again, 38-31, number 13, Louisville at Miami, and Louisville would go on to play Florida State in the ACC championship game. Number 12 and 11, and we're, to conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, number 12, Duke at North Carolina. You're thinking, this ain't basketball. It ain't basketball. This is college football. But Duke and North Carolina this season were pretty freaking good at football. They were pretty good at football. Duke at North Carolina, back and forth game. Drake May and Riley Leonard were slinging it you know, going for it. It was back and forth, high scoring affair between both teams. And it was, you know, back and forth. You really couldn't tell who had the edge between the two teams because they were really, they were going back and forth that much. It ended up being a double overtime game where North Carolina ended up going for two to defeat Duke 47-45. And they ended up going, you know, to defeat Duke in double overtime. North Carolina defeated Duke in double overtime, 47-45. What a game between both teams. Riley Leonard at Notre Dame now. Drake May obviously going to the National Football League in the NFL draft. Back and forth between both teams. North Carolina presented a good threat on defense to Duke. Their front seven was, the front four for, you know, the North Carolina Tar Heels were really, really solid. Had a solid receiver in Tez Walker, who played a really good game. Amarian Hampton is probably one of the best running backs in college football, and he played a big part in this win for the Tar Heels, too. It was just back and forth, you know, and Riley Leonard and, you know, Duke, the whole offense, you know, Jordan Waters, all those guys for Duke and the Blue Devils were just trying to just find a way to, you know, they were just trying to find a way to win. Both teams were. And I think in the end, North Carolina mustered up just a little bit more than Duke did to get him the win in double overtime. Back and forth, classic of a game, 47-45, North Carolina defeated Duke. Number 12, Duke at North Carolina. Because of the magnitude of the game, because of how back and forth and high scoring of the game it was, and the crowd was electric in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So North Carolina defeated Duke 47-45 in double overtime. Number 12, Duke at North Carolina is, like I said, number 12. Finally, last but not least, number 11, to conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, Oregon at Texas Tech. Back and forth game. And let me go on and tell you, Oregon was on them in the first half. They were on them in the first half, and it was Oregon and Dan Lanning all day long, out-physicaling them in the first half, out-throwing them in the first half, up front, on the ground, through the air. Oregon was getting them. Until Texas Tech had an idea to say, hey, you know what, Tyler Shough, the former Oregon quarterback, he's starting for us, and what Sonny Combe and what Texas Tech is going to do, we honestly are going to, you know, guns up and light it up through the air. And that's what they did. They moved the ball on Oregon in the second half, and Texas Tech presented a credible threat to Oregon losing in week two. Texas Tech came back, and the Red Raiders ended up being in it until the very end. It was 30-30. 30-30. And it was a tie game in the fourth quarter, going back and forth between both teams. Texas Tech bringing the fight to Oregon. Dan Lanning was thinking, okay, we got to do something here. Until Bucky Irving led a game-winning drive with Bo Nix down the field, Troy Franklin, all those guys were going down the field. Bucky Irving was a menace in this game. He ran the ball extremely well. They ended up scoring within 3 minutes of the game, Oregon scored a touchdown, went for two, got the two-point conversion, 38-30. And Texas Tech tried to respond. They couldn't respond. Oregon's defense ended up slowing them down and stopping them, and Oregon won the game 38-30 in Lubbock, Texas. So this game was solid. Back and forth game around the second half. First half, it wasn't, but second half, it was. And I think it was, like I said, how I've been saying it, the stakes were high for Oregon. It was a week two game still, but still, even though it was week two, the stakes were high, and it's all about how the story concludes. It's all about how it ends. College football is like a big story sometimes, okay? It is like a story, and you got to know how the story ends. You got to keep up with these games and know how the story ends and how it's going to be. So you got to keep up with the story. Texas Tech did not go quietly into the night. They ended up fighting hard, playing physical football in the second half, and ended up competing with Oregon. They lost the game, but ended up being a show for everybody else watching in Lubbock and for everybody across the world. Oregon and Texas Tech was a back and forth affair in the second half, physical football and a pretty high scoring game between both teams. So Oregon defeated Texas Tech 38-30. Oregon at Texas Tech is 11, and it was a classic of a game because of the stakes and because of how both teams were operating in the second half. Phenomenal game between those two teams. Go back and rewatch it if you want to. I think it was a really, really good game, especially in the second half. So Oregon at Texas Tech at number 11. That just about does it for Pigskin Frenzy, guys. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just to sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You will get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get trivia questions on Instagram stories, go and answer today's, as well as all things of the date for Pigskin Frenzy. Also, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Message me on there. Also, shout out to the Beard Club. Guys, go click the link. And men, go click the link so you can get your facial hair needs met. 15% off on a lot right now for the Beard Club. Go and get your beard and your facial hair needs met. Guys, Beard Club, it's on Linktree. It's on my Linktree on social media, and it's also on the website. Just click the logo on the website. Guys, big thank you again for taking some time out of your Tuesday. We will be back Thursday for some NFL free agency news. A lot happened in NFL free agency yesterday. A lot is continuing to happen in NFL free agency. A bunch of big moves have been made. It has shook up the NFL at the start of the 2024 NFL league year. It's the new year. It's a new season, a new league, and the start of the 2024 season kicking off during the offseason. A bunch of moves have been made. We're also going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft as we inch towards April and inch towards the 2024 NFL draft. So until Thursday, an NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will also be back next Tuesday. Next Tuesday through 10 through 1 of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 college football games of the 2023 season. Until Thursday, though, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then for an NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. For everybody out there, stay the course.